Gopi Chanda Bala Bhagavani Gopi Chanda Bala Bhagavani Yashodananda bhaja janaranjana Yashodananda bhaja janaranjana Jamuna tira vanatha Jamuna tira Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Na Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Jayam Vishnupada Dham Bhizhat Paravajaka Jayasata Sakish Vishnamal Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnupada Dham Bhizhat Paravajaka Jayasata Sakish Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Ki Prem Bhagaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki All glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees. So thank you so much for coming. We're reading today and discussing text 66, chapter 18. Actually, it's not the right one. Sure, if you want. Actually, it's text 65, chapter 18. So, I'll read the verse and read through the word-for-word translation, and anybody that wants to chant, they're welcome to do that. So, man mana bhava mad bhakto majji mam namaskaru mam evashasi satyam te Patijane Priyostime. Anybody want to chant on their own? Madmana Bhava Madbhakto. Majaji Mam Namaskaru. Mamivashati Satyam Te. Patijane Priyostime. Okay. Matmana, thinking of me. Bhava, just become. Madbhakta, my devotee. Madjiji, my worshipper. Mam, unto me. Namaskuru, offer your obeisances. Mam, unto me. Eva, certainly. Ishasi, you will come. Satyam, truly. Te, to you. Patijane, I promise. Priya, dear. Asi, you are. Me, to me. So translation, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. So I'll say a phrase and you can repeat it. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. And offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me. Without fail. I promise you this. Because you are my very dear friend. And this is the purport commentary by Srila Prabhupada. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours, he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna when he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with the beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Ram, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Amangana Chamandija. Kanyagana Sokaya Chakshan Rubitamyana Tajanashi Guravina. So I wanted to discuss the verse a little bit and also include a little bit, because today is Independence Day, talk about what does that mean? What does that word independence mean? So I looked it up in a very brief definition. Is that freedom from outside control or support. So there's always this push, especially in America, for this idea of, you know, do it my way and freedom and that kind of mentality. So, you know, our forefathers, they came from England, you know, pursuing religious freedom and, you know, established, of course, when they established a civilization here, they had to kick out the American Indians who were there first, and that's often the way things go, is that there's one group and then another group comes in and takes over. faith and the things of the mind, and so many people don't have any faith in the temptation because of maybe negative experience they've had in their lives. It's also interesting that people who are just doing well, things are just happening, they just don't know. It's like, what are you doing? I'm successful, I have my business, I have other children, I have things like that. But if things do go so wrong, people go, God, let me help, right? God, you know, it's a good fault. You know, so people are more likely to find some fault with God than to thank Him for all the gifts, you know, that are given to us every day. I love this story about a man who goes to visit a friend, and he has this whole model of a solar system. You know, all the planets and total perfect perspective. And he asks his friend, wow, this is incredible, this model of the solar system. How did you do it? I can't do it. And he's like, well, nobody did it. It just kind of appeared. And he's like, what are you talking about? Obviously, it took a lot of intelligence to make this model and, you know, put it perspective in there. I mean, he did it. He goes, oh, it just appeared. He goes, what's wrong with you? Why do you keep on giving that answer? He goes, well, you tell me that this whole planetary system came about, you know, just a big bang. So if you think there's intelligence behind this model of the planetary system, what does it speak of the actual planetary system? I've also heard it described as thinking that everything that's wonderful has a person behind it. You know, even computers. Anybody saw that movie about the computer, you know, it's kind of control of the thing that ultimately was defeated. You know, everything has some intelligence behind it. If you look at the beautiful altar, there's so much work went into it, so much devotion went into it. You know, making the dresses, making the garlands, you know, making sure that, you know, Radharani and Balaram, everybody's hair is just, it's just perfect. The backdrop, the flowers, everything. So if David, it just happened to accident, it would be absolutely ridiculous. Someone gave the example of taking the printing press, take and all the alphabet and just, right, there was an explosion in a printing press. That's what it was. Explosion in a printing press. And out of that came a dictionary. Like, what are the chances, right? So there's so many arguments for having a supreme personality that is, or has organized everything. Of course, we can say, oh, it's not organized very well. I mean, look at all the things that are happening. Look at all the pollution. Look at all this, all that. But a lot of that has come from man-made difficulties. So the more that we follow God, the more we follow Krishna, the more that we can unveil the spiritual world right here, on our planet. So this idea that, you know, that there is a supreme personality, God is behind everything, and that our dependence on Him is not a failure. It's not an example of weakness. It's actually an example of great strength. You know, people get what they ask for in many cases. Like, there's one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, yam yam, yam bhakta, shradam ichtam arshati, tasya tasya chvam chaham. That Krishna says, I'm seated in the heart as the super soul, and when one desires to worship the demigod, that He gives them the intelligence and the ability to worship the deity. So it just depends on what you want. If you want a relationship with God, He's there, and He's happy to reciprocate with you. And if you want a relationship with a demigod, He'll allow you to do that too. If you don't want any relationship with Him at all, He also allows that. But happiness is very flickering, you know, especially if we don't have that kind of relationship. After all, you know, so many people want to call themselves independent, but, you know, raise your hand if you'd like to get a disease. Okay, raise your hand if you can't wait to die. Okay, there we go. You must be very Krishna conscious, so that's the only way it could be. You know, who wants to get old? Raise your hand. You can't wait. Okay, nobody, but these things are upon us. They're forced upon us, whether we want them or not. So the idea is that how we can take shelter, how we can have this relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that we can experience happiness right now. Like there's another verse in Bhagavad Gita, Jarana Marana Mokshaya, Mamashricha Tantite. It goes like, those who seek refuge from old age and death, take shelter in me in pure devotional service. You know, so that you're able to relieve yourself from material miseries by taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and having this relationship with Him. There's so many stories in the Bhagavatam about great yogis. So there's one about a yogi. His name is Shabari Muni. And Shabari Muni, he was very powerful. So sometimes people who are very powerful, it's very difficult to be humble. And to have a relationship with God, it necessitates some humility. So this yogi, he was meditating in the water for many, many years. And during that time, Garuda, which is the swan carrier of, or the, not the swan carrier, but the bird carrier of Vishnu, he was allowed to eat fish in that area, but Shabari Muni, he stopped him, he prevented him from eating fish. And Garuda was upset about it, he was angry. So because of that, because Garuda is a great devotee, and because he was not allowed to eat the fish, Shabari Muni stopped him, Shabari Muni made an offense against a devotee, a Vaishnava Aparad. And when you do that, it can be a very serious affair. You may not understand what's going on, but what happened to Shabari Muni is that he lost a lot of his shakti. He lost a lot of his mystic power. So one day he saw two fish that were having, you know, enjoying sex in the water. And most people, if they saw, I mean, you see all kinds of, you know, birds and insects. The other day I saw two stick bugs on my screen. I was like, wow. You know, or two geckos or whatever it might be. But when you just move on with your life, you don't really, you know, concentrate on it too much. But in the case of Shabari Muni, he actually became a little absorbed in it and wanted to experience that pleasure. So because of that, he came out of the water and he went to King Mandata and he explained to him how he wanted to get married. And the king said, okay, that's a wonderful aspiration, but very truthfully, my daughters are never going to want to marry you. I mean, look at you. From being in the water for so long, your skin is all shriveled up, your hair is all gray and matted. I mean, you are sorry, you're a sorry piece of work, you know? So Shabari thought, okay, no problem. He just was able to, because of his shakti, was able to give himself a beautiful body, you know, beautiful, young, handsome body. And whereas before, the young women didn't want anything to do with him. Now they were kind of like, well, actually, he's not the right person for you. He'd be right for me. So they began, you know, kind of squabbling and competing for his attention. But ultimately what happened is that Shabari Muni, he married all of them. So they had a wonderful time. You know, because of his power and his austerity, because there's also a wonderful verse that goes, Bokram Yajna Tapasam Sarvalokam Hishram Suhidam Sarvabhutanam Natanam Shantam Rishiti, that one who knows Krishna as the supreme goal of all austerities and penances, who is the leader of all planets and demigods, and is the supreme friend and benefactor of all living beings, he is relieved from the pangs of material misery. So because he performed so many austerities, he had a lot of pious activities. So he was very, very wealthy and was able to set each wife up in a beautiful palace and they were able to enjoy anything. But as time went on, as time always does go on, it became less fun. It became less attractive. And even to the wives, they just became a little bored with material pleasure, because material pleasure, it can only go so far. So he realized that he wanted to go back to performing like the stereos. That's what he did. He took Vanaprast, and his wives followed him, and they ran into the forest, and they were actually able to attain this supreme perfection by worshiping Krishna. So this is real. You know, independence has a place in the sense of, how do we want to serve Krishna the best? You know, how do we want to serve God the best? How can we get close to him, and how can we serve the devotees? You know, that is the perfection of independence. But to depend on God is not a weakness. It's the very greatest strength. Now, there's another wonderful story about King Ambarish and how Durvasa Muni came to his place in order to have dinner. And King Ambarish had been fasting for so many days. I mean, he hadn't eaten anything. He hadn't even drank any water. And so when Durvasa Muni came and said, with his followers, and he wanted to take prasadam, King Ambarish said, yes, why don't you just go bathe in the river? Or he said, I'm going to go bathe in the river when I come back with my prasadam. So while he was gone, the time for King Ambarish to break his fast arrived. So he wasn't sure what to do, because generally it's considered impolite to start eating before your guest comes. So he decided, okay, I'm not going to eat, but I will just drink some water. So he drank some water. And when Durvasa Muni came back, because he's also a great yogi, and he was able to perceive that Ambarish had broken the fast untimely, according to him, he became fierce. What have you done? You consider yourself such a great Vaishnava, but you've made such a great offense. You know, how could you do something like that? And Durvasa took a handful of hair out of his head, he threw it down, he created this great monster, you know, to bother Ambarish. But what happened is Lord Krishna's Sudarshan immediately came, enveloped itself around the monster, and that monster became ashes. And then it came after Durvasa. When Durvasa saw that happening, he was like, uh-oh. You know, he started to, like, move pretty fast, you know. So he went from one place to another. He went to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma said, you know what? I can't help you. You know, this is, you better go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he went to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said the same thing. I can't help you. You better go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So finally he went to Krishna. And Krishna said, I can't help you. You've offended a devotee. So if you want to resolve the situation and get this demon off your back, you're going to have to go to the king and you're going to have to apologize. So he did. He hightailed it there, paid his obeisances, and said, I'm so sorry. And King Ambarish, she was a little embarrassed. He's a very humble king, you know. And he was like, it's okay, you know, don't worry about it. It's no problem, you know. So that's how a devotee is. You know, devotees, they try not to give offense, and they don't take offense. They're simply just trying to associate with devotees to serve Krishna. So we even see devotees like Maharaj Purkit and Vritasura, great, great devotees. Through some plan of the Lord, they made an offense. And because they had so much power, they could have reversed the decision of what was going to happen. Like Vritasura became a demon, Maharaj Purkit, he was going to get bit by a snake bird. So it was possible for them to reverse the curse, but they didn't do that. They decided just to stay with it, to stay with Krishna's plan. And of course, both of them, so pure-hearted, they both went back to Godhead. So in our lives, I think every one of us has had a situation where we couldn't understand why something was happening. You know, maybe a financial reverse, a physical reverse, you know, a reverse in relationship. And it's so hard, you know, but what we try to do is serve Krishna more and try to understand that You know, there's a plan, and try to go with that plan that Krishna has for us, knowing that we've been in this world for so long. 8,400,000 species of life explained in the Bhagavad Gita, and just delineated into, 400,000 species of humans, so many species of insects, so many species of birds. So we've been through all the species of life so many times. And here's where we are now, Here's where we are now. So it's kind of described human life is a little bit like a diving board, It's a platform. You can dive up and, spread your wings and go up, or, you can choose to join the cycle again. But this is a great opportunity for us, to always understand that Krishna wants the best for us. Even there's a wonderful story of Krishna, the rancher, where Krishna is in a battle, and he's already defeated King Jarasandha. So many, maybe it was like 9 times, or I forget, 14 times. So many times he defeated him. So again, he had amassed his forces, and they're going to fight again. But Krishna gets the letter from Rukmini, his devotee, and she's like, Krishna, they're going to marry me to Shishupal. This is what the letter says. And I can only give my heart to you. Please, you have to come. So Krishna's like, okay. Put down his weapons. He just immediately went back to Rukmini. And in the meantime, his opponents, his detractors are like, look, Krishna's a coward. He left the battlefield. Did Krishna care? No, Krishna didn't care. You know what he said? He said, I've got so many names. I've got hundreds of thousands of names. If they want to add one more, Krishna the Rancher, that's fine with me. But he went and he saved Rukmini. He actually kidnapped her in kind of the beginning of the wedding ceremony and brought her away and married her. So there's so many stories of Krishna rescuing his devotees. And as we become closer to Krishna and as we become more dependent on him, we can understand that he's always got our back. He also always has our back. So we have to have that faith and that understanding and that those symptoms of surrender, of depending on Krishna and understanding he's our protector. Even when sometimes it seems like, but doesn't seem like that. Just sticking with it. And they say hindsight is 20/20. Generally, as time goes on, we can understand Krishna's plan a little better. I read one beautiful story about this ship sailing. It was going from France to Pondicherry. And on this ship there were many passengers, one of them an old man who had just gotten on in the port before. And what happened is the first mate, he got up on the deck and he's looking out and he sees this gigantic whale, or some kind of sea creature. And he's like totally freaked out. He thinks like that just the tail of this fish would smash the ship to smithereens. So he calls the captain. He's like, Captain, come up. So the captain's a little bewildered. He comes up and he says, look in the binocular. And the captain looks and he's like, oh my God, and the ship is going right towards the whale. And not a lot of time or room to change direction. And not only that, there's the sky becomes dark and there's all kinds of wind that's tearing at the sails. And the captain's thinking, well, should I let the lifeboats down? What should I do? And he's afraid if he lets the lifeboats down with the waves as big as they are, it's only going to cause a great loss of life. And he's looking at the passengers, and one woman comes up to him. She has her little baby. She's saying, even if I die, can you please save my baby? And the captain looks at this little one-year-old beautiful girl, and she's just all smiling, having no idea what's going on. And he starts crying himself. He has no idea what to do. So he's looking around. People are trying to, do something, maybe to save themselves, grab onto something. And he sees this old man sitting there looking at a picture, and he's gone past him several times. And he's only the only person on the whole ship who doesn't seem to be in total anxiety. So he goes up to the man and says, what are you looking at? And the man holds up his picture, and it's a picture of three deities. One is white, one is black, and one is yellow. So he looks at the black one, he said, well, he looks at his eyes, he goes, wow, those eyes look just like the eyes of the whale, you know? He's going, why, what are you doing? Why are you looking at them? He says, my Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, they can do anything. You know, they can save anybody. They can change any situation. And the captain's like, well, okay, we'll pray to him. He can say it, that he can save us. And so, and the ship captain says, and if he does, I'll give him everything on this ship. Everything I'll give to him. So he goes up, looks out again, and he sees the whale change direction. But he's like, okay, Lord Jagannath, you changed the whale's direction, but what about the storm? That's still, you know, going in pretty much full fury. But then he sees the wind slowing down. He sees the black clouds start to part and the white clouds start to appear. And they're saved. You know, they're saved. So he says that, okay, wherever, he asks the old man where he's going. He's going to the temple of Jagannath in Puri. He says, okay, well, we're going to go there and pull over and unloaded all the jewels, everything. They had a church bell, too, that they were bringing, but he said, let them take the church bell, too. And apparently that church bell is still there at this temple, you know, where they let it off. So many situations that we're involved in big ways and little ways, we see that Krishna is able to protect us, you know, but we have to avail ourselves at the same time of that protection. We have to, you know, take a little bit of effort, you know. It may be that we suffer these kinds of reverses, like Queen Kuti is the quintessential example of someone who suffered so much, you know, so many reverses in her life, with her, you know, grandchildren dying, so many problems with her own children. But she never blamed it on Krishna. She never blamed it on Krishna. In fact, she said, let these calamities keep coming. Let this danger keep coming, because the more that they come, the more that I'm able to think of you. So I personally can't pray like that, but, you know, if you can, it's a great way to pray, you know. But the idea is just to really, you know, intensify that love, intensify that service. It's a beautiful verse, Bhaktya, Mama Vijanati, Yavan Yas Chasmi, Tatvataha, Tatto Mam, Tatvatonya, Vavishite, Tadanantaramda. One can understand me as I am only by devotional service. And one comes to full consciousness in such devotion, then he can enter into the kingdom of God. So pretty much here we are engaging in activities that are the same kind of activities that go on in the spiritual world. So we're practicing. So yo-yo vapis mamava chyati janti kalevram, that whatever state of mind you have when you leave your body, that's the state you attain. So if we're practicing love of God, if we're practicing service to God, then it'll be an easy transition from one life to another. And you know, that's what we want. We can only experience in this world very temporary happiness. You know, a little bit of happiness here, a little bit of happiness there, but by and large, there's so much anxiety. You know, there's so much fear. You know, we look at our world, like, you know, California, people are leaving in droves because it's drying up. You know, so all the people that claim to be so independent, you can't create your own water. You know, you can't create sunlight. You know, someone may say, oh, you know, look at me, I built this beautiful building, you know, look at it, so strong. And, you know, there's a great story where Prabhupada's walking on the beach with this business magnate. And so he's asked him what he does. He says, oh, you know, I make glass. And so Prabhupada says, oh, okay, you make glass. Very interesting. He goes, well, where do you get the materials from the glass? How do you make the glass? He said, well, we get it from the sand. You know, we take the sand and we're able to, you know, a certain process, make it into glass. And Prabhupada says, oh, you are stealing from Bhagavan. And everybody started to laugh. And he said, well, Prabhupada, I don't take that much. I just take a little bit. Prabhupada said, oh, you're just a little thief, you know. But it's something to think about, you know, in all the different ways that really we really depend on God. You know, my sister just called me right before I came in here and said, oh, there's a Hurricane Elsa is possible that it's going to be going through North Florida. And with, you know, 30 to 70 miles an hour winds. Breaking news. So, pardon? Tuesday late and Wednesday, you know. So immediately you're like, oh my gosh, you know, okay, here we go, because we've been through these kinds of things so many times. So what do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we pray for that. We pray for that protection, you know. So that no matter what happens, you know, we're practicing for those final moments, you know, of being able to really, really depend. So many who have gone before us have had that opportunity. There's another nice verse: Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samanvritaha Murayam Nabijanati Lokamama Jamavayam. That I'm never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I'm covered by my internal potency. Therefore, they do not know me, who am unborn and infallible. So, again, you get what you want. If you don't want to know God, you don't have to. He gives you that. That's your freedom. That's your independence. You can decide to walk away and have nothing to do with him, or you can decide that you want to know him more. Probably everyone in this room has had the experience that when you take a few steps towards God, he takes many steps towards you, especially in the beginning of our spiritual lives. It's so obvious, you know. So there's another verse. It goes, Yeya tam mam prapadyante tam sitaiva bhajamiham mam avartmano vartante manushi partasavrasha. As they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So Krishna is showing, Krishna or God, again, God has so many names, he's showering love upon everyone. He says, just like the rain showers on everything, and there's parts of the land that will absorb it, parts that won't. So God is showing his mercy on everyone. Some people are willing to take it, some people aren't, at least not at this time. So that's our job, to help them. Help them absorb it, you know, and give everybody a chance to understand your own experience. Sometimes the best way is just to share your own experience, you know, share your own journey of love of God. So, this is the idea that we can, like it said in the purport, we can spend 24 hours a day just being able to remember and serve and associate in different ways. So we'll stop here. If anybody has any questions or comments or corrections.
I have a question.
Okay.
When we hear Prabhupada say, if a 2 years old child asking for freedom, is that a freedom or foolishness?
From a child?
Yeah, 2 years old. Freedom,
freedom meaning what though?
Like he wants to live without his parents.
Oh.
2 years old child.
2 years old.
Is that a freedom, independent, or is it foolishness?
Well, it's foolishness, right?
So how do you say that?
To a child?
Choose,
huh?
How do you convince a child?
A child? Well, you know, you can say... Actually, I was listening to a lecture by Mahanidhi, and he was saying how, you know, children, they you know... Especially teenagers, they want to be free. They want to live their lives. They don't want to have restrictions. You know, they want to be able to do whatever they want. You know, so he was saying, just like a child may be in the backyard, and you know, they're playing with each other, they're pushing each other, and fighting with each other, and you know, just really showing their prowess. But a big dog comes into the yard, and what do? Daddy, 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 daddy. There's a big dog that's after me. You know, please help me. So it's kind of like that with us, you know. We're going along, we're thinking, well, you know, I'm pretty good, I got enough money in the bank, and, you know, I'm feeling healthy, I'm feeling strong. But you know, stock market drops, or, you know, you have a health scare, you're like, Krishna, 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 you know? So that's the way life is, you know. There's free. Our real freedom is to connect or to not connect. So the real mercy is when we take advantage of that opportunity to connect and to grow, you know, that Prabhupada always recommended for us to, you know, to read a little bit every day, and that can be really hard because we have such busy lives, you know, time is just really, really going fast, and it can be hard to do that. But even, also, I mean, you go to ISKCON Desire Retreat, most of you probably know about that, but I know, I sometimes find it hard time to read, but I can just put on a lecture, and you can put in according to a theme, and the lectures come up, and you might be cooking or, you know, cleaning or whatever you need to do, but you can listen to these wonderful lectures in the meantime. So that's what we're aspiring for. We're aspiring for that pure love of God and working our way there.
Hare Krishna, such a nice class. I love that example of Sir Isaac Newton with the
isn't it great?
Model of the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody created it.
It's so ridiculous, right?
Right.
Yet
right.
People want to say that this world was created that way.
Right. I read a book. There's an author that I really like. His name is Malcolm Gladwell. Okay. He wrote a book called...
English?
He's American.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But he wrote one book called Outliers, which was specifically addressing this point, doing away with the concept of the self-made man.
Uh-huh.
And he gave one example after another of people that had like achieved wonderful results and proved that it was because they had these opportunities. And usually it involved lots and lots and lots of practice of whatever. Like Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Happened to have a key to the room where the mainframe computer was before anybody had access to mainframe computers, and he spent many, many hours there. And how the Beatles had practiced singing. They had a job where they were singing like 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking how by practicing bhakti yoga, just chanting our rounds every day and coming to the morning program
That's
or
right.
watching it online, you know, we're just accruing
our practice, right? Perfecting
exactly,
our practice.
That's the practice. So that I just wanted to share. His book isn't so much God consciousness, but it's definitely showing, no, we don't do anything independently.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I guess it's a combination of, because the opportunity and everything comes from, you know, past activity and desire, right? So my daughter went to New Vrindavan with her husband because there was a wedding and someone was getting married up there. So she had told my husband, oh, you know, something happened and the plane and, you know, but she didn't tell me, right? So when she called me, I was like, well, what happened on the plane? Anyway, she says, oh, I didn't tell you? She doesn't want to tell me because she knows I'll just be like, you know, in a pool of anxiety. So she said, yeah, the plane dropped like so many feet. She said, Mom, people were screaming. They were crying. Stuff was flying all over the place. I said, what did you do? She said, I was chanting like anything. I was like, yay! It's working. So that's the idea, you know, that we're really, this life is so short. And I always heard that as you get older, time goes faster. And I'm personally experiencing that. It's like, wow, it's like Friday again? We're in a new month? It's just speeding by. So pretty soon the time will come. And as we practice, you know, we can feel that protection. You know, we can feel that dependence and appreciate that dependence.
I also, towards the end, you mentioned about the hurricane coming. So it reminded me when there was, which one was it? A few years ago, there was a hurricane. And we had warnings that if you live in a mobile home, you should go to one of the shelters. So I do, and I went to the shelter and spent two nights there.
Yeah.
So one of them, they put all the old people in one big room, and I kind of made friends with a lady that was there, and when we left, she told me her name and said, I'm in the phone book. And so later I called her up, went over to her house, I took her a couple books, and invited her to go see Yadavar's and Dishaka's movie was in the theater.
Oh, nice.
But then later, around Christmas time, I ran into her at the post office, and I had a Bhagavad Gita in the car. So it was like,
wow.
It was just Krishna, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Share that.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, and your point about just the importance of the practice is well taken. I remember reading about a very famous violinist. I think his name was like Linz or something like that. So some woman went up to him and said, "Oh, I'd give everything to be able to play like you did." And he said, "I did." You know? So things don't happen just automatically, generally. I mean, it's true, there's like child prodigies, you know, who at 3 years old, they're starting to play pieces on the piano. But of course, you know, that comes from the previous life, you know, practicing and just coming into it like that. Yes?
Prabhu asked a question about a child. How do you influence a child to not stay independent or stay dependent? Mm-hmm. That reminded me of a lecture which I was hearing. It said, when a child is born, they are very pure, but they actually have done a basic sin of coming out of Krishna's shelter to enjoy this world. So when mother, father say, this is a small child, he or she is pure, why is it that he can be considered as sinful? So the explanation was given that this is a prison house.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do explain to our children is, get better at getting a higher position in this prison house rather than getting out of the prison house.
That can be a problem, right?
Right. So that kind of came in my mind. I was like thinking, how do you explain a child that you become a better prisoner than a better coming out of the prison?
Yeah. Time goes on, you know. It's like the three modes of material nature, they're always present, you know, and the three miseries are always present, and nobody can escape that, you know, no matter how much money you have, that just doesn't matter. You, and when the time of death comes, you can have, you know, multi-billionaire, you can't buy, can I have five more minutes? No, you can't. It's like when the time comes, that's it. So, yeah, at least parallel, right? At least the position and the working on getting out of the prison house, for sure. So, thank you for that. Okay, we can stop here. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.
Shila Prabhupada.